Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Drive Pink Dialogue. This is episode number 12, and we are about an hour away from kickoff of Inter Miami's most important game of the season so far. As always, I'm your host, Scotty, and I'm here with my co-host, Soar. How are you feeling tonight, man?
Nervous, very nervous. 2-2, we're at the halfway point of this tie, and hopefully the players show up today, man. I'm looking forward to a victory.
Yes, we've got Messi back. We've got, I mean, this is our A squad, our A team, as far as, you know, what this roster is capable of producing right now and what Tata is comfortable with. So, I mean, this is winning time, baby. Let's do it.
Yep, the lineups are out. Do you want to go through the lineups for both teams first before we get into our thoughts about them?
Sure. Why don't you pull up Nashville's while I'm getting this ready? And we'll start with Inter Miami. I think we thought that there was a really good chance we'd get this lineup. It's Drake Callender in the back, a back three of Nicolas Freire, Sergei Christophe, and Toto Aviles. The wing backs on the left are Jordi Alba, and on the right, Julian Gressel. A midfield three of Diego Gomez, Sergio Busquets, and Federico Redondo. And then up top, we have Luis Suarez and Lionel Messi. This is the best lineup that we were going to put out, or we could put out.
Yeah, you predicted it, man. You got it spot on, so well done to you. I had a little bit of a difference in the back line with Alan coming in. I think his performance against Montreal warranted him starting this particular game. I think Christophe hasn't looked the best, and I was hoping Tata would give him a rest and start Alan instead. I think Alan in the left centre-back position has been really good and steady, and I would have loved to see him pair up with Jordi Alba on that side. But you know what? This is, as you said, one of the best lineups that we can field at this point in time. We were expecting the 3-5-2 as well, as much as I am worried about how it's going to play out today against the Nashville defense. But we go with this. Federico Redondo playing with Messi, playing with Busquets. This is going to be a big test for him. I'd like to see where he positions himself and what Tata's expecting of him with Busquets next to him. We saw this in the first game, but, you know, in the first game against Nashville, but that was Redondo's first game in, and it felt like he was still finding his feet. I think after that game against Montreal, he'd be full of confidence. I think he had a good game. So a lot to see from him, and then so good to have Messi back, dude. So good to have Messi back.
Definitely. I think the only question that we had going into this was it going to be Sergei Christophe or Noah Allen as part of the back three? And so I sort of went back over the last couple of days to look for some clues. And the one thing I noticed was the only player to play back-to-back 90s over the last 2 weeks, the only two players were Christophe and Noah Allen. So I didn't really get any answers there because everyone else other than those two got a rest. But then I looked at Nashville. Sam Surge did come back for them, their main striker. And so I figured with a bigger body, a more traditional striker, they were going to go with a more experienced central center back. And then just the fact that I think Nashville's going to have more in terms of an offensive structure, and they're not just going to be relying on counters and set pieces. Maybe we didn't need athleticism quite as much as we probably did last week. So that was sort of what my thinking was and why I thought Christophe was going to get the start. But other than that, I mean, lineup is sort of chalk from what we've been going with. And there were really no other questions. David Ruiz probably wasn't going to get a start. And so this was it.
Yeah, one thing we haven't mentioned yet is Jordi Alba. He's back. He didn't play against the first against Nashville in that first game. And I think he's going to be a huge addition. We're going to talk about how we think the game is going to play out and who the key players are going to be. But I think having Jordi Alba back is definitely a positive, both offensively and defensively. So, just looking forward to this. And I'm hoping that the players are more comfortable with the 3-5-2 by virtue of having played it so many times already this season now. We seem to have a good bench strength. But let's talk about Nashville as well, because they seem to have a few changes, a few returns on the bench as well. So I'd love to hear your thoughts about the Nashville team if you've had a chance to have a look.
No, but can you tell me who's starting for them? Because okay, I'm pulling it up.
Yeah, with Nashville, we've got Tyler Boyd as the striker. And again, this formation might be slightly different as it plays out, but we've got Tyler Boyd, Jacob Schaffelberg, Ani Mukhtar's playing in the number 10 position. Alex Mew, they're playing the same midfield of Sean Davis and Annibal Godoy. And they've got the back line of Daniel Lovitz, Taylor Washington, Lucas McNaughton, who technically should be on a red, and then Shaq Mu. And they have Joe Willis in goal. I think I'm looking at the right lineup, but I may be completely wrong.
No, that's probably right. I saw that Serge was available, and so I just assumed he was going to be their starting nine, but it looks like he's on the bench. So
he's definitely on the bench.
Yeah, Tyler Boyd, Schaffelberg, and Hani Mukhtar are going to be their sort of front three that they're going to be countering with. So at least to start the game, it's probably going to be a very similar look of what they had last time, where they're going to try and hit us on the counter, especially with Schaffelberg going up against that that left side of our, or I guess that right side of our defense. Anyone that really stands out to you? I mean, I know Schaffelberg scored two goals, but this feels like a very similar lineup to what they put out last week.
Yeah, I think in terms of the front line, we should be expecting pretty much the same as you've mentioned. I think they're going to try and get us on the counter, expect Inter Miami to make the mistakes and then capitalize on that. They've got pace with Schaffelberg. I think Mukhtar is going to be fresher here and a little more sharp compared to how he was the last game. I think he was still coming back from injury, so he didn't look great against Miami in the last game. So I think those two are going to be the X factors for Nashville and something that our backline is definitely going to have to contend against. I think in terms of what's standing out here is, and I see a couple of comments mentioning this, Zimmerman's out. Their captain, their central defender, they're the one who basically organizes their backline. And honestly, that's a really big relief because I think it will give someone like a Luis Suarez a lot more space to play around with, not having that stable defender to constantly up against him. So I think it's going to be a big test for Taylor Washington and McNaughton. And I think one that Messi and Suarez can definitely exploit. So at this point, it seems like it's going to be whoever has the better attack basically wins this game because both defenses aren't up to the mark. We've seen Inter Miami's defense leak goals. Concede a few stupid goals, let's be honest. So I'm hoping we can minimize those errors and then our offense can just carry us across the line.
Listen, I don't want to give Walker Zimmerman too much credit because this is still a sound team. These guys have been together for a long time. I'm a little surprised to see Mayer not playing, but maybe he's got something too. Anyways, they're going to be sound defensively. I mean, this is still a Gary Smith team, so let's not pretend like this is going to be easy for us. But yeah, I mean, the big names, the big questions were Walker Zimmerman. We found out a couple of days ago he wasn't going to be available. Sam Surge is available. He played on Sunday for Nashville against the Galaxy. And then Lionel Messi being the other big name for Miami, he's 100% ready to go. He's starting. I think in terms of those trade-offs, I think we did pretty well. Inter Miami came out on top, getting Messi. I don't think there was much of a question whether he was going to play tonight or not, but still it's good to see him in the starting lineup and to just feel like that's nothing.
Yeah, I think in the previous game, more so than the injury, I think I saw an interview with where they said that this was pre-planned. Even if he hadn't picked up that ankle knock, he would have rested against Montreal because that was identified as one of those games where Messi can actually have a bit of a rest. So we were expecting him back into the lineup, and I think he's 100%. So there shouldn't be any doubts about his fitness. And listen, when Messi plays, whether he's 100% or not, he's always the difference maker. So I'm just really glad to have him here. And as I said earlier, it would be good to see someone like a Redondo link up with Messi if he can pull that off in this game and has some chemistry going with Messi. It'll be good for the rest of the season, I think.
One thing I wanted to note is Leo Campana is available off the bench today. We saw him on Sunday get a full run out, but last week in this game, he wasn't available and he may have come on because we were looking for goals late. So he will be available off the bench and assumingly, 100% ready to go. Robert Taylor's also on the bench. I think we expected that when we saw that it was going to be as we sort of assumed it was going to be a 3-5-2. Those seem like the two real big difference makers that we have off the bench, especially going forward. So if we need a goal late, it's nice to have two guys that you feel like can actually come in and make an impact.
Yeah, I think suddenly with Robert Taylor on the bench, with Campana on the bench, this bench looks really strong. I think it's all about difference makers. I know Nashville has Sam Surridge, and there's always the danger of the Sam Surridge, Hany Mukhtar combination up top for them. But if we are in any sort of trouble against Nashville, we definitely have potential changes that we can make. We've got David Ruiz, we've got Robert Taylor, we've got Leonardo Campana. And those three I do expect to come in at some point during the game. So, just if we find ourselves in a bit of trouble, we can play around with the formation, play around with the personnel, and we have a few different makers on the bench, which is always good.
Let's talk about last week's game. This was a game that we went down 1-0 really early. Then we went down 2-0 early in the second half. We created some chances for the first 15 or so minutes, or maybe even 20, 25 in the second half, but then it went real quiet. Nashville scored a third goal to put it up 3-1, but we kind of got lucky that Shaq Moore was, a few inches offsides. And then Luis Suarez obviously finishes with a magic moment late in extra time. How does that game, the psychology, how does that impact this game where these two teams, they just saw each other a week ago, they know each other, it got feisty. Lionel Messi and Godoy are in each other's faces. I mean, these guys are, they want this game, right? Not just for the stakes, but just for the personal beef that was created just a week ago.
Yeah, and it's not just a week ago. I think it started with the League Cup final where Nashville lost on penalties. We knew coming into this game, and we discussed this in our preview of the first game, that this is going to be feisty, this is going to be hard, they're going to allow a few fouls to fly in, and it's going to be a physical battle. And we saw that in the first game. When I view a two-legged cupped tie, I always see it as over the course of 180 minutes. The first half is the first game, and the second half is the second game. And I think if you look at it in that sense, Nashville started really well, but momentum is with Inter Miami. We pulled back those two goals towards the end of the game, took the 2-2 result, coming back home to Chase Stadium. I think the psychological impact that you talked about is going to be in favor of Miami by having scored those two goals and having the momentum shifted in our favor. Two away goals are really big, and let's not forget those away goals are going to count. So having that in our back pocket, if this was 2-1, that would have been a completely different outlook that we would have to this game. It would allow us to start this particular game on the front foot and not having to chase, which is great against this really frustrating Nashville team. And yeah, I think just psychologically, I think Inter Miami is on top at the moment, but the game can change over the course of the 90 minutes, and I would expect this again to be a very feisty affair. I think Messi is going to come out with wanting to get a bit of a kickabout against these Nashville players and show them who's boss. So I think it's going to be a really tough game. It's going to be a really physical game, but that's what we would expect out of a CONCACAF tie. So we'll see.
Last night or yesterday was the first day of these second legs in CONCACAF round of 16. We saw three MLS teams go on the road. All three of them lost their ties overall. One of them did get a draw in that game, but that was the Houston Dynamo at Columbus. But Columbus was already in the, was winning based on the first leg, and so a draw was enough to see them through. The other two games, Philadelphia went to Pachuca and lost 6-0. And Orlando City went to Tigres, also got beat up and lost 4-2. Pedro Galici had some bad moments, and that really cost them. So away teams haven't faced so much luck so far in this round, and that bodes well for Inter Miami. I think being at Chase Stadium, as you mentioned it, I think we're going to have the crowd on our side early. This is going to be a Lionel Messi game where the stakes are high. This is going to be something he's really excited for, and I think he's going to really want to put on a show nice and early. But before that, let's go back to last week's game. Based on the way that game unfolded, how each team played that game, what lessons are you taking in terms of how this game is going to play out?
I think my biggest lesson from that previous game was how important Jordi Alba is to that back line. I think having him back is going to be a really big boost just to control the wing play a little bit. I think Nashville was able to, at the start of the game, exploit the wings a little bit. Schaffelberg had plenty of space to run into. We obviously saw Avilés make that monstrosity of a positional error that led to the first goal, which basically left Schaffelberg free. And we saw Shaq Moore get, you know, plenty of space down the right side. So I think having Jordi Alba to cover defensively, but also have a bit of an offensive threat in the wings is going to be definitely different from what we had against Nashville in that first game. Second, just don't lose the ball. Because if we keep the ball well and keep it simple, this Inter Miami team can beat anyone. And we've shown that. I think all the errors that we've seen throughout the start of the season in most of the games, all the issues that we've seen have been mostly self-created. I haven't seen moments where I'm worried about the opposition in the sense that I haven't been worried whether we can go out and beat this opposition. I think this Inter Miami team, this Inter Miami squad is capable of beating any team as long as they play at their, even not even 100%, if they play at their 90-95%, they will get it over the line. I think that's the biggest lesson. We minimize our errors, keep the ball, keep it simple, pass around well, play, be conscious and in the game throughout the 90 minutes, and we will be able to come out on top. If we lose our concentration at any point, we're going to get punished because that's how this Nashville team is. I think that's the biggest lesson from the first game. Just keep your concentration and we'll be able to get this over the line. Secondly, fix up on the set pieces because, Jesus, we need to definitely improve on those.
You made an interesting point there at the very beginning with Shaq Moore and Jordi Alba going up against each other. And I know you sort of made it as a Jordi Alba will be better defensively, but I think it's also going to be interesting how Shaq Moore plays that because he's going to have to be a lot more sure-footed and a lot more disciplined defensively because Jordi Alba provides more of a threat. And I know Noah Allen was really getting forward last week, and so he was trying to provide that threat, but it's just a different level when it's Jordi Alba. And so Shaq Moore might not have the same opportunity to range forward and to try and make plays offensively. Nashville really struggled to score last year, and so I know that Shaq Moore getting forward is one of their sort of strategies this year to try and create more offense. That they brought in Tyler Boyd, Sam Surge, who they brought in last summer. They're hoping to sort of take the next step with them. But it feels like that is like one of their big ways of scoring this season, or at least what they're trying to make. And having Jordi Alba could really nullify that, not because he's incredible defensively, but because he's going to provide such a threat offensively.
Yeah, and to that point, my lineup predictions had actually taken Kristoff out and Allen in, with Frere playing as the central center back. And that was one of my reasons, because I think that Allen and Alba combination, I would have liked to see how that would play out in a game. I think having the having Allen next to Alba and the pace of Allen would allow Alba to go forward a little bit more, with the cover of Allen at the back, who I think is more than capable of dealing with the pace of someone like a Shaq Moore. With now Frere in the mix and Kristoff in the mix, I think that's where it might become a little bit of an issue. And what my worry is, what we've seen with this 3-5-2, is the back line getting stretched a lot more than it needs to, and that leaving spaces in the central areas. And I think both Frere and Kristoff don't necessarily have the pace to cover that much open space. And that's why I would have liked to see Allen in that position. But we'll see how it plays out. They're both experienced players. Hopefully they've learned from a few mistakes in the last couple of games of not leaving as much space in between that back line. And hopefully we can fix that up.
Well, listen, I don't want to give Shaq Moore too much credit. He is a fullback. He's not a winger. He's, you know, he's athletic, but he's not a burner. And he's not even like a star fullback, right? It's not like it's Jordi Alba gone the opposite way, right? So I don't want to say we have the game plan just for Shaq Moore. I know he had a nice would-be goal last week, but, you know, he's still Shaq Moore. Let's talk about fitness, though. We saw some rotation from Inter Miami over the weekend. Like I mentioned earlier, Serhii Krzysztof, Noah Allen, and Drake Callender were the only two players to go 90 minutes in both last week's game against Nashville and the weekend game against Montreal. Nashville decided a different strategy. They replaced 10 of their 11 starters from Thursday night. You know, obviously, they brought five of those guys off the bench to get some minutes, but they're going to be very well rested. They took the keeper out or replaced the keeper for Sunday's game. So, I mean, even the keeper is well rested. And actually, it'll be interesting to see. I didn't even think to check who's starting for them in goal, but Inter Miami.
Joe Willis.
Okay. So, yeah, even, you know, Panico got the opportunity to start in goal on Sunday. So they are going to be well rested. Inter Miami, I mean, you'd think they would still be in good shape for this game, right?
Yeah, I would hope so. Listen, these are all professionals who've played at the highest levels in football. So I would expect them to be not well rested, but at least ready for this particular game. There's also a couple of things when you're playing such a game of such magnitude. A, it's a midweek game. It's late at night and you're playing under the floodlights with so much pressure on the result. That can be very draining. So regardless of whether they're well rested or not, if the players don't have the experience of playing under the headlights with the crowd completely at their throats, because I expect the Inter Miami crowd to show up and, you know, be that 12th man for the Miami team, I think Nashville might find itself struggling a bit to cope with the intensity. Now, I'm not saying they will. I think they're going to show up because I expect them to. But that could be a factor in play that we should take into account. I'm sure we're going to talk about how the game is going to progress. But I think when it's a game of this magnitude, it's more about the experience rather than how well-rested you are. And I think Inter Miami has definitely got the experience with Luis Suarez, Lionel Messi, Sergio Busquets, Jordi Alba. They know how to play in the big games. And I think that's going to be a big factor of how we manage this particular game.
Well, and certainly those four should be well rested because Alba didn't play last week and Messi didn't play on Sunday and Suarez got, you know, 15 minutes or so, but it wasn't like they were exhausting themselves. So I agree. I think Inter Miami is in a good spot. Probably worth noting that Nashville also played midweek games the two prior weeks because they were in the first round of this tournament playing against a team from the Dominican Republic. So they've been playing a lot of soccer. So I guess, that could make sense on why they had so much rotation on Sunday. And listen, they still got a draw out of it, a home draw against a pretty good LA Galaxy team. So it worked out for them. What time? Let's see what time it is. It's 7:38. Let's get into how we feel like this game's going to play out. Inter Miami's been a lot better at home, especially with their A team. They've been a lot better at home than they have on the road so far this year. How does that play in? And how do you expect this game to play out?
It's tough because every time I've predicted this over the last couple of weeks, it hasn't necessarily turned out that way. I think it's going to start off with a lot of intensity. I think given that it's at 2-2, Nashville doesn't have the luxury to just sit back and, you know, absorb the pressure. Because if Inter Miami scores one, then they now have to go and score two because Inter Miami's got that away goal advantage as well. So I think that's going to definitely play into account.
How nice would a early goal for Inter Miami feel?
It's going to really change the nature of this game because I think the biggest problem playing against Nashville is that they can sit in and frustrate you. And it takes a lot. As you said, like their defense may not have Zimmerman, but this is a well-drilled team. And this is a team that can sit back and absorb the pressure and hit you on the counter. And that's the most frustrating thing about this playing against them. So I think getting that first initial goal is going to just pull them out because they're going to now have to go and chase the game. And that's going to open up the spaces that we can then go on and exploit. So I think getting that first goal is going to be so crucial. And on the contrary, if Nashville scores again first, that might really affect how the rest of the game plays out. And I don't want to see Inter Miami chasing this game. I want to see them go on the front foot and get that first goal.
Yeah, but maybe you disagree with me, but I feel like if Miami does give up a goal first, they're in a lot better position to go back and sort of go on an all-out assault and still get a goal back, right? They have the players to feel comfortable, like they're going to break this team down. They're not going to panic. They're not going to feel like the world is crushing them. They're not going to let the moment get to them just because they give up an early goal. Whereas I think Nashville, they might look around and say, okay, where are we going to get two goals from? Because, you know, that's not something they do a whole lot, and they don't have like go-to weapons. I know Hany Mukhtar is a star. He's absolutely a star, but he's really great at giving, at taking what the defense gives him. So I don't know. I just feel like Inter Miami is a lot more prepared to handle that situation.
Yeah, I think I like the juxtaposition of the fact that you're a little more optimistic and I'm a little bit more conservative about this. But I think my concern is, having seen the Montreal game where we were 2-1 down, 2-0 down, 2-0? Yes, I think. We were 2-0 down.
No, it was 1-0, then 1-1, then we gave up 2. So it was 3-1. We were down 3-1.
Yeah. When we went down 2-1, we went on to chase the game. And then that just, as you saw, we left a massive gap in the middle, which Montreal was just able to cut through and get that goal. And that's what I'm worried about. If Nashville gets one goal, I don't want Inter Miami pushing too further up and, you know, trying to hamper themselves offensively and defensively and lose the structure. That's definitely going to be an issue, because if Nashville scores first, then Inter Miami is going to have to go out and full attack, and that can leave spaces in behind. And we have seen this team suffer on defensive transition, and we don't have the legs to catch up with some of the attacking talent that Nashville has. So I'm a little bit more conservative in my estimate. I think we're going to be able to come out of this game on top. I think we're going to be able to deal with Nashville. But again, all these cup games are so concerning and so frustrating sometimes, because it doesn't necessarily depend on how much quality you have in the team. All it takes is that one moment. If someone like Schaffelberg pulls up that goal that he did against Miami in that first game, that's just going to change the whole complexion. So we're going to have to be a little bit more I'm going to be a little bit more reserved in how I predict this game to play out. But I think Miami has the tools to win this.
This is one of the reasons why I was really sad that Inter Miami is not going to be in the U.S. Open Cup, because every Open Cup game is, you know, do or die. And so you get these nerves and excitement. And even if you are the better team, there's always, you know, a chance that they get an early goal. And, you know, we saw that last year. Miami FC got an early goal, and it took us, I think they scored in the first minute, and we scored the tire in like the 90th minute to send it to extra time. So that's always possible in a game like this. But let's get into some of the key players. And let's start with Drake Callender, because we have a comment here. He didn't have the best game on Sunday, but he's been pretty good this season so far. He made a couple mistakes, and it seemed like he let his confidence wane and he lost his head a little bit. He wasn't in the game mentally. And I don't know if that was because he was, you know, wearing the captain's armband, or he had an early mistake that kind of, you know, messed him up. But what are you expecting, prime Drake tonight, or you think we should be worried?
No, I think we should expect prime Drake tonight. That was just a glitch, right? It was just a little bit of a blimp, and that can happen to anybody. The goalkeeper position is very scrutinized, and yeah, he had that horror of a start in that game against Montreal where he just let the ball fly over him. And as it didn't lead to the goal directly, but obviously it cost us the goal on that corner. And that definitely, you could see in his eyes that took the confidence out of him for the rest of the game. And he made a few errors here and there. But we saw that in preseason that he wasn't necessarily up to his peak performance level. And he didn't play necessarily well in the preseason. And this is the conversation that we were having, right? Like, will Drake Callender be up for it throughout the season? And we saw in the first few games that he performed exceptionally with that penalty save against Galaxy. He's had some really good saves throughout the first few games that we've played, and I expect him to show up tonight. Like, he has to. It's a big cup game. It's one of the biggest games of our season. I think he's gonna show up to party.
Yeah, the last time we had a do-or-die game against Nashville, he was the hero in penalties, both with a made penalty and a penalty save to clinch it. Any other players that you are, you know, I know Luis Suarez and Messi, and I mean, they're great players, and you expect them to make a big impact in this game. But is there any one player for either team that you really think is going to step up and make the moment tonight?
I think there are two players that I'll be looking at. I don't know if they're going to step up or not, and that's what I'll be looking to see, whether they're able to do this in a game of such magnitude. And I think those two players are Frederico Redondo and Julian Gressel. I think both for different reasons. For Redondo, it's going to be a massive test, because I think we're going to see how he can perform under the lights when the magnifying glass is on him, how he performs under pressure. I think playing next to Busquets, playing with Messi, is going to definitely take some of that pressure off. But I think this is going to be a big test of his personality, because we're going to see him as, you know, the starter for the rest of the season. He's here. He's been bought on $8 million. He's not just going to sit on the bench. So we're going to see how he handles responsibility. If he makes mistakes, that's going to be scrutinized. So I think it's a big test for him. One that I think he's going to be able to come out of, but just something I'll be keeping an eye on. And I think Julian Gressel, there are a couple of things with Gressel. He hasn't been amazing at the start of this season. We expected more from him, and we've seen glimpses of what he can do in that attack when Messi's out, when he's playing with Messi. In both instances, we've seen glimpses of how good he can be, but he's just not been consistent enough. Tonight, he's playing in the right wing-back position, which he's played before, but I don't think that's his best position. So I think that's another player that I'll be looking out for, because his performance will eventually determine how Inter Miami performs as well. And that right side of the field with Gressel and Redondo is going to be really important. If they perform well, we're going to win this game. If they don't, it might be an issue.
I think those are some pretty interesting shouts. I think I'm just going to leave it to Lionel Messi. I think these are the types of moments. I mean, I know that's a cop out, but this is a Lionel Messi type moment. Last year, when we played them in the League's Cup final, we actually weren't playing that well, and we had played really well in that tournament. Very cohesive. The whole team was just on top of it, and you know, Robert Taylor was banging in goals, and we were getting contributions from everyone. And then in that Nashville game, we kind of came up pretty limp to begin with, and it was Lionel Messi that made a phenomenal, you know, scored a phenomenal goal in the first half to give Inter Miami the lead and to get them feeling like they're actually in this game. And that goal was what ultimately saved us and sent us into extra time.
And yeah, listen, Messi plays for Inter Miami, so you're allowed to say Messi, because he's going to be on the pitch. He's one of the starting 11, so he's going to make a difference.
Listen, the last two games, I pinpointed a player on the other team I was really nervous about, and they both scored, and they scored in both games. So I'm not going to do that this game. No players. I don't have a good feeling about any of them scoring tonight. So yeah, we're going to skip that. Obviously, we know they have some talented players. This is a team that's been in the playoffs every year. They made it to the League's Cup final. So they have good players that are capable, but I'm not going to pinpoint any of them for my own superstitious reasons. Before we get into...
On that point, I have a question about Nashville in general and just this game as well, right? So there's been a lot of conversation about CONCACAF, and it's seen as one of the first trophies that Inter Miami can win this season. We know it's a really important game. Definitely for this season, it's one of the most important games up until this point. But do you think in the history of Inter Miami, this is one of the most important games ever? Because this, if we win this, we essentially go on to the next round of CONCACAF, and it winning against Nashville really sets the tone for how we're going to play in this tournament and perhaps the rest of the season as well. Because if you don't start well, you're going to have to finish really well. So talk to me about what you think the magnitude of this game is in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this over the last couple of days, and I think I have this definitely in the top five most important games in Inter-Miami history. And then I thought about those games, and four of those five are against Nashville. And of course, those are, I think last year's League's Cup final was the most important game in Inter-Miami history. And then I would rank the Open Cup final, which we did lose, but it was, you know, that was a cup final, as the second most important game in Inter-Miami history. And then the two playoff games that Inter-Miami lost, both to Nashville, both in our inaugural year and in 2022. I think also belong in the top five. But I have this game as our third most important game ever. It's against Nashville again. It's a team that we seem to always come up against in these types of moments. And I'm looking back on the schedule and sort of the history, and you know, the US Open Cup semifinal last year, where we played Cincinnati and won in overtime, or actually in penalties. That was a phenomenally fun game, but I think going in, it's probably not as big as this. In 2022, we played, I believe it was Montreal. No, it was Orlando. Oh, we played Orlando City in the second to last game of the year. We won 4-1, and that's what clinched our spot in the playoffs that year. And I think I sort of had that in my memory as a really big game going in. But yeah, to me, this is the third biggest game in Inter Miami history. And it's really fun and exciting to be in the 20 minutes before this game starts and to have those nerves and to have that excitement.
No, I'm definitely getting a bit jittery and a bit nervous. and I just want the game to start. But just to pick up from what you talked about, I think not just for Inter Miami, even for Nashville, I think this is a pretty important game. And A, they want revenge for League's Cup final, because they not only lost that game, they lost a lot of momentum after they lost that final game in the MLS as well. So they've always seen Inter Miami as one of their, you know, bigger rivals. I don't want to say biggest rivals, because I don't want to speak for Nashville fans. And in that sense, now that you mentioned that some of the most important games have been against Nashville, and I recognize that I am wearing Nashville colors for whatever reason.
You can change before
I promise I'm not a Nashville fan. Do you think Nashville is or has become Inter Miami's biggest rival? Because there's a lot of conversation about, oh, it's Orlando, it's Nashville, it's someone else. Where do you stand in this particular debate?
Listen, this is the Nashville show, so I don't want to talk about Orlando City too much, but here's what I will say. Nashville played the Galaxy on Sunday, and I was thinking, okay, interesting that Nashville didn't start all its players, but, you know, whatever. And Orlando City played over the weekend, and I was rooting for them to lose. And they played last night, and I was rooting for them to lose. So in my heart, it's Orlando City, but I definitely recognize that maybe for the players and for the front office staff and the people that are living this day to day and have had these huge moments against Nashville, that Nashville can start to feel like this team that really is always around the corner and you just have to spend so much time thinking about. But in my heart and in my head, it's definitely Orlando City. But I don't want that to take away from this game.
I'd agree. Without talking too much about Orlando, I was watching that game yesterday and they were at 4-1 when Tigres got that red card. And I was like, oh God, please no. Don't let Orlando score. And they scored on that penalty. And then I was like, oh, 10 minutes left. I hope they don't come back. And they didn't. And I was really happy. So I completely agree with your sentiment that in the hearts of hearts, I do still feel like Orlando's the traditional rival. But the Nashville games have just always been so frustrating, so annoying, but so fun and feisty and a proper battle. And I think that's what really defines a rivalry for me. So definitely there's something in this game and these two teams, when they play each other, there are fireworks. And I think this is going to be another one of those games, which is going to, whichever way it goes, it's going to just intensify that equation and that rivalry. So I hope Miami comes out on the better side of this.
Yeah. You know, I was watching that Orlando City game yesterday. I watched the Philadelphia Pachuca game yesterday, and I don't get the sense that Nashville is going to be very competitive as they move along in this tournament, if they move along in this tournament. So I'm sure a lot of people around MLS are hoping that Inter Miami wins, because I think they feel better about Inter Miami going up against some of these big powerhouse Mexican clubs that are still, you know, in that tournament and just sort of waiting for us. We talked about some of the biggest difference makers that we feel like could have a big impact in this game. We're going to skip who's going to do that for Nashville. This game's going to be physical. I think we both agree. You know, we got our first taste of CONCACAF soccer last week, where it is more physical. They don't call cheap fouls. You get away with more. Everything is intensified. Everything is harder. Everything is more complicated. Everything is more physical. Nashville, I feel like, plays into that. I feel like they have that sort of mentality already. And we've seen some over the last, you know, 8 to 9 months since Messi arrived, that Messi and Alba and Suarez and Busquets, and they can play into that. You know, we've had some fierce, I remember last year's game against Orlando City where we played them in the League's Cup, and they were coming out trying to foul us, trying to be chippy, trying to be in our faces, trying to get in Messi's head, trying to get in Busquets' head. And it felt like it was working until the scoreline read 3-1 Miami. How do you feel about that? You know, the mental edge of our guys going into tonight and how that's going to play, especially in, you know, not in MLS, but in CONCACAF.
Yeah, there are a few things that stand out in that regard. I think the first part is, A, this is the CONCACAF. It's not the same as MLS. The referees are going to be a lot more lenient when they go in for a foul. We saw that with the foul on Messi from McNaughton. That wasn't even a card. That would have been a straight red in the MLS. It's just going to be a lot more physical, a lot more brutal. And the referees are going to allow some of those, you know, nasty challenges to go in, which sometimes makes for a good game. But if you're on the wrong end of it, it can obviously be quite frustrating. So I think that's going to be really, it's going to be something that Inter Miami is going to have to contend with. But we've been here before. These players have played against the same team before. We know what to expect from them. We know there's going to be physicality. I'll be surprised if there's not a fight on the field at one point during the game. And I think each and every one of that player is up for it. We've seen Messi lose his mind sometimes. We've seen Jordi Alba is very feisty. He was shouting at Tata Martino in that first game. So, you know, I'm not afraid for any of the Inter Miami players to deal with that physicality side of things, because I think we have that in us as well. And we have that edge to go toe-to-toe with Nashville when it comes to physicality. And what adds to that is that the fact that we've got the flair and the fact that we've got the football technique as well. So I think Inter Miami is going to go into this with the same mindset and is going to have a lot more to offer in offense and defense compared to Nashville.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to be up for this game, and I think they're going to have the mental edge in this game, and I think that's going to play out well for us. You have been very good at predicting goal scorers for Inter Miami, and I have not been. I've been very good at predicting goal scorers for Inter Miami's opponents. So I'm going to stay out of this game tonight, but give me your thoughts on who might score for Inter Miami, or who's going to look the most dangerous and looks like they're going to score and is going to put it in the back of the net.
Do you want just the goal scorers, or do you want me to tell you how it's going to play out? Because I know exactly how it's going to play out.
No. Don't tell me how it's going to play out. I'm too nervous for that. I can't deal with that. Just tell me who's going to score.
I think it's going to be Messi and Suarez. Messi with the first half goal to open the scoring for both teams. He's going to score first. And then in the second half, I think Suarez is going to score one. And it's, yeah, those two are going to be my go-to people for goals.
Okay. It's about 17 minutes till kickoff. We're going to go for about 10 more minutes maybe. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Is there anything else on your mind about this game before we go into our official score predictions?
I'm very nervous, but I'm confident nervous. I don't feel underprepared for this game, and I think Inter Miami's up for it. But gosh, I hope we come out of this one on the right side of it, because if we lose this game, this week is going to be terrible, because we've played two games and we would have lost two. But I don't want to talk about losing. I don't want to talk about negativity. I think Inter Miami is well prepared to deal with whatever Nashville has to offer. It's a home game. It's going to be a fun game. So I urge all listeners to just sit back and enjoy enjoy the spectacle that's going to be Lionel Messi tearing apart the Nashville defense.
I have one prediction that I'm going to put out there. I think Nicolas Freire is going to have one on a set piece, is going to have a header on while we're defending a set piece. That's going to, maybe we aren't going to notice it in the moment, but as we rewatch the game, we're going to say that was big for him to just clear it and have us feeling better about it. And I think that's going to be Freire's first big moment for Inter Miami. Okay, let's do it, man. What's your prediction?
2-1 Inter Miami. First goal, Messi in the first half. I think Nashville is going to equalize in the first half. And then we're going to go in the second half and just blow them out of the water. But we're only going to score one. So I think it's going to be 2-1, but Miami's going to dominate the game.
I would really love that, especially if we get a goal really early, because that'll, I think, put my mind at ease. But maybe Nashville equalizing won't help so much. Maybe if we go up 2-0 and then they score late, that would make me feel better. I feel actually even worse, though. I think this game's going to penalties. I think it's going to finish 2-2. And I have no prediction for penalties. I think Nashville might score early. I think Nashville might score a second early, or, you know, in the first 35 minutes or so. I think Inter Miami is going to dominate the second half. They're going to equalize it. They're going to have 10, 15 minutes of trying to go for the win in the second half. So it's not going to be like a buzzer beater like we've seen sometimes this season so far. But, and then we're going to go to overtime, and then we're going to go to penalties. And I make no predictions after that. I'll never tell you this now.
If it goes to penalties, just text me the result, because I'm not going to watch. I can't physically watch that. So
that's sort of how I feel, because penalties are the most nerve-wracking thing in sports. Yeah.
I mean, we had the first penalties in the UCL, in the European Champions League. We had the first ever penalties since 2017, I believe. So, yeah, man, it could happen.
Was it Arsenal? Arsenal, yesterday, right? Earlier this week. Yeah. If you guys have any predictions I would love to hear them in the comments section, because I don't love my prediction, and I'm very worried about this game. I want to see some more positivity.
Going through the comments, I'm happy that a lot of the fans are very positive about this game, and I'm hoping that comes through as well.
Yeah, definitely. We have about 9 more minutes, but we can get off a little early. There's a few things around Inter Miami that we haven't gotten a chance to talk about, and maybe we should touch on them for a few minutes, because they're not going to impact tonight, but they're going to impact the season over the next couple of weeks. And, you know, if Inter Miami does win tonight, they will advance to the next round and have two extra games next month. Did you hear what Tata Martino said about Matias Rojas, the winger from Paraguay? So he spoke to the media a couple days ago, and he said that that's a done deal, and they're just waiting for CONMEBOL and FIFA to sort of finalize his breakup with Corinthians so that he's a free agent, but that he's in Miami, the deal's agreed, and that he's going to join the team as soon as that gets finalized from a paperwork perspective and from the Brazil side of things. So he's not going to be available tonight, but it seems like we're going to get in the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to get a nice impact player.
Yeah, we get an attacking option, and we've discussed about him plenty in our previous podcast. So please go ahead and listen to those. But I've always been a big fan of having different attacking dimensions to a team. And I think from what little I know about Matias Rojas, he's going to add a little bit more dynamism up front when Messi is not available. And I think he might be a really good impact player coming off the bench. So looking forward to this one. I know we're all hoping for a right back to come in as soon as possible, but in the meanwhile, I think having this right wing option just bolsters the attack, and I think it's going to be a good option going forward in terms of squad building. So,
speaking of fullbacks, it sounds like Franco Negri is training with the team, and he's getting close to coming back. It sounds like he's going to be a guy that's going to be available for Inter Miami, maybe over the international break, or at least in the next couple of weeks. I know Jordi Alba is not, you know, he retired from Spanish international duty, but having Franco Negri on the team and as being a quality fullback option, it's going to be nice to have him back. And then as far as, you know, you mentioned right backs, we've gotten a lot of right back names that Inter Miami is trying to, you know, bring to the team. But the one we've been connected with the most closely is Marcelo Wigant from Boca Juniors. His contract runs out this summer, and so the team is trying to sign him as a free agent, but they want to get him now because obviously we need a right back. And so the latest I heard is that Boca Juniors is trying to sign Wigant to an extension and then have him be loaned to Inter Miami, and so he could come join Inter Miami, you know, in the near future, play with Messi for this year, but then Boca Juniors wouldn't lose him for free. So progress is being made, and, you know, we've talked about Wigan as well, but progress is being made on that front. Two two MLS notes, and I'm sorry we're talking about non-Nashville things. I'm too nervous right now. We're getting too close to game time, and I can't be thinking about Nashville right now. I would just get too nervous. Drake Callender today got called up for the Nations League semifinal and final for the U.S. men's national team. International break starts next week. So we're going to, I'm sure, be hearing more about who's getting called up over the next 48 hours. But it's great for Drake. He's probably not going to play. He's probably the third string goalkeeper, but still.
Gives him a boost of confidence, and it's a validation for all the good performances that he's been putting in, barring that game against Montreal. So very happy for him. Hopefully he gets a run off for the national team as well. And, you know, he deserves it. So good for him.
Yeah, I'm still salty he didn't get an opportunity to play in January, because that would have been a golden opportunity, and they gave it to a different keeper. And then lastly, just today, Tom Bogart of The Athletic announced that that MLS has decoupled, or is planning to decouple, the DP and under 22 DP rules this summer, starting at the summer transfer window. And so that would mean that Inter Miami could sign a third full senior DP, and they wouldn't be held responsible for having that third spot be for either under Max Tam or a young DP, in order to keep their three U22 initiative players. So Inter Miami could be signing another big name this summer. I mean, they might save that spot for next year, but, you know, you can start dreaming about Neymar and Antoine Griezmann and, you know, these sort of big superstar names, because that is now going to be a real possibility.
Yeah, we were always hearing about Sergio Roberto coming in the summer and maybe someone we're targeting, but this just ups the ante a little bit. And I think it's going to make for a really exciting summer. And I'm looking forward to what Chris Henderson has planned out, because, you know, it's going to be a big, big deal.
Okay, I'm hearing that the pregame show on Fox is starting for the Inter Miami Nashville game. So we just wanted to be here to give people an outlet for that hour before the game where they are excited and they want to get into Inter Miami mode. And so we wanted to be here and start talking about it. But now that the broadcast is getting ready and we got to get into our comfy clothes to watch this game, you got to get out of that jacket.
Or change these colors,
Is there anything else you want to say before we go, anything about this game or any last thoughts?
No, just it's been good to talk about Inter Miami before this really big game, because I think it calms down the nerves a bit, and I'm really looking forward to it. Let's hope we win this, and please join us for the post-game review that we do. We'll let you know when that's going to be up, but we're definitely going to be analyzing this game once it's over. Up the Herons, man.
Yeah, sort of along those lines. This is our second time doing a pregame show live, and in the hour before the game kicks off. It's something that, you know, we had sort of been realizing over the last couple of weeks that we want to start talking about Inter Miami before 5 minutes before the game starts, and that's generally when the pregame show starts. And so we decided, you know, we should just get on and start talking about it for the hour before. So we're going to keep doing that. I think we sort of both like it. It sort of helps ease our nerve. So if you guys want that too, feel free to join us. We'll be back on Saturday before the game. But we'll be talking about this game in a post-game review before that. But again, in the pregame, in the hour before, I think that's sort of when we're going to try and go live and sort of talk all these things out. But other than that, I'm Scotty. This is Soar, and we enjoyed it. And we'll hopefully enjoy this game too. See you guys next time.